good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Very, very busy show. Lots of guests today. Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up at 10:33. Kelly Nelson, the Pewaukee Public Library in the 11 o'clock hour. Sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Lots of stuff we're going to be covering today. Very excited to start off the top of the show with U.S. Representative from the 2nd District in Wisconsin, Democrat Mark Pocan is here. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Very glad to be here.
Well, a lot has happened in the last time we talked.
Woof, man. Yeah. I'm tired.
I think we're all tired. I do want to play a little clip from President Biden's speech last night from the Oval Office, in which he explained why he is stepping aside and running for re-election. Calvin, could we play that clip, please?
I revere this office, but I love my country more. It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think it's more important than any title. I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union, it's not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we, the people. We can never forget that. And I never have.
President Biden last night issuing an address from the Oval Office. I watched the entire speech, Representative Pocan, and I thought it was just pitch perfect.
Yeah, we owe him an enormous debt of gratitude. In Washington, much less in Wisconsin, for someone to say they're putting their country before their own personal ambitions is pretty much unheard of, right? Yeah. It's like a flying, fire-breathing unicorn, right? We just don't have people like that. And he did the exact right thing. Unfortunately, he got to be president very late in life. Perception from the debate was becoming reality. And fair or not, he did the right thing. And we can already see the difference it's making. But let's just remember one very, very important thing. That night at the debate, people weren't happy with the two candidates. They still have one candidate they're not happy with, Donald Trump. We have a different candidate on the Democratic side, and I think that's going to speak volumes. There's a reason why Donald Trump is afraid to debate Kamala Harris right now, and we need to really make sure that everyone understands that it's Donald Trump's Project 2025 agenda versus what Democrats are campaigning on. And there's a stark contrast.
Who's the old guy now?
Exactly.
And I know, Representative Pocan, you took some heat when you had made some suggestions that you thought that it was time for President Biden to step aside. But obviously, you'd been hearing from a lot of your constituents and their concerns after that debate.
Hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't think I didn't get a personal contact for an hour or two over a three-week period that someone didn't reach out to me, much less to the office about it. And everything was with great respect for the president, but concerned that if Donald Trump became president with his agenda, which he now has, he didn't have when he became president last time, this time he's got Project 2025, mm-hmm. and we know how bad that is. People were just so afraid. And I think, there are a couple things that week that really made me get to the point that I needed to say that with the most respect for the president. But, we needed to be able to convey what we were hearing back home. And again, he did the absolute right thing. And he's going to go down in history for a number of reasons, extremely accomplished and being a president that, put his country before his own self-interest. And all of those things are unique.
I mean, those are some of the qualities they attributed to George Washington. He could have kept being the president with no end in sight. And he said, no, it's time for me to stop. And Congressman, on Sunday when he announced, there was this nervousness. We knew it could be coming. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do? By the end of the day and into Monday, I felt so energized and so excited that I was telling people, like, I'm having a really good Monday, and it's just a Monday. And it was because she had announced, Joe Biden supported it. Everyone was just feeling good. I'm talking to all sorts of people who are saying, like, it has changed their viewpoint of this election. And I imagine you're getting this. I mean, even from what I'm hearing, you're hearing tenfold from people around you.
The energy is amazing. You know, before I left Monday to come here on Tuesday, I was thinking about staying to go to Milwaukee on Tuesday, but they still, as of 11:30 in the morning, because I had to leave by 11:45 to get a plane, they still didn't know if it was going to be 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock. They didn't have a location. With 24 hours notice, 3,000 people came to Milwaukee. That is an excitement level that you don't just, you know, create. It's there. It's part of the ether because of what happened. And I think, you know, that is what we needed. Again, going into this campaign, there's about 100 days, give or take, that are left. But, you know, I have full confidence in the fact that they're saying awful things like she's a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. She was the district attorney for one of the largest cities in America, attorney general for the state of California, a U.S. senator from the state of California, which, by the way, is about a sixth of the country, and a vice president.
Yeah.
You know, if that's a diversity and equity hire, you know, I just think the outrageousness of their racism and sexism is deafening.
Well, and now the contrast, I think, is even starker. After President Biden gave his address last night from the Oval, all I could think of was if Donald Trump were ever forced, because he would never willingly step aside for anything, but were he ever forced to make a speech like that, it would be all about, you are the dumbest people in the world. America's a stupid country. You're going to regret it. Have a good life. You're going to miss me. I mean, again, the difference in messaging could not be more apparent.
It's the difference between a statesman and a crazy man.
Yeah. And now they have the old crazy man. He'll be the oldest president to ever have been in office if he gets elected, Trump, and he'll also be the craziest. So, you know, there's a couple records he could get that I don't think the American people want.
Yeah.
Our guest, if you're just joining us, is U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, representing Wisconsin's 2nd District here in the state, talking about President Biden announcing on Sunday that he will not be seeking a second term and endorsing a Vice President Kamala Harris, who, as we mentioned, just has done gangbusters in the last couple of days, not just with grassroots fundraising, but getting people excited to register to vote.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's something like 48,000 people have signed up to vote in the last couple of days.
Yeah. No, and this is a real contrast, right? I mean, they no longer can say, you know, because before they were two older Americans that were running, but I think, you know, Donald Trump gets judged as an entertainer rather than as a politician, and Joe Biden was being, you know, judged as a statesman, but people were concerned. The reality is now we have a real severe contrast between the two candidates, and I know by all the polling, people agree with us on the issues, and the more they find out about Trump's Project 2025, surveillance of women, I mean, go down the list of what they want to accomplish. This is a big state Republican Party that they want to have, and our country will not look the same, and more people are going to find out about this.
We've been talking about this for several months. We've had a number of guests on from National Security Leaders for America who've explained what this would mean on the ground and what these changes would mean for people's daily lives, and especially the Schedule F and being allowed to replace 50,000 or more civil servants with nothing but loyalists. And I equate this to, think of your least qualified cousin who's had a series of jobs over their life and maybe a little time in jail for some misdemeanors, and he gets a job in the Trump administration in a high level position. And that is literally what we're talking about.
It's a takeover. I mean, no one wants that. That's not something that's America, right? So I think people just need to know the particulars about that, and we will be in a good place.
We're going to shift to a little bit of J.D. Vance. We've only got about 3 minutes left, Mr. Pocan. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I call her Marjorie Taylor Howler Monkey Greene, but that's just me. Her boyfriend now says that he's concerned that Kamala Harris will pick someone like Gretchen Whitmer, and that's an estrogen-filled ticket, and that would be disastrous for the country.
Look, who they picked, J.D. Vance, I watched that speech that night. And by the way, I've kept the recording of it. So when I can't sleep at night, I play it because it was so incredibly boring. And, you know, I think my pillow guy could make a little money, you know, on the side.
I like that.
Doing just that. I'm going to help my pillow guy get out of debt. It was awful. And then you look at everything he's done, he does not connect with real people. I just didn't realize until this morning, you know, he's changed his name twice.
Right. Yeah.
He's not J.D. Vance. He's like, I don't know, I don't know, Eddie Murphy or something originally, and then it moved a couple times. Like, this is a guy who is already odd by normal standards, much less now getting a chance to look at him as a potential president is a stretch.
Well, and now that Donald Trump is trying to back away, much like the abortion issue, they don't want to talk about that. Although the former president mentioned it in a rally yesterday, and we're going to talk to Dr. Lyerly about this, abortion in the eighth, ninth, and after birth, which is not a thing, and we're going to clarify that. But J.D. Vance has written the foreword to Kevin Roberts from the Heritage Foundation's new book that's coming out. Heritage Foundation is behind Project 2025. And now, again, Donald Trump going, I've never heard of it. I don't know what's in it. I know there are some things in it I don't like, even though I don't know what's in it.
Yeah, no, they're trying to run away from it. In Wisconsin, Dirk Van Orden said that he's never read it. I do trust him on one thing. I believe he's never read, but
yeah,
I think he knows about Project 2025, and they're all trying to run away from it because they know that what was a covert agenda is now being exposed. So we're going to keep talking about it, and we're going to keep talking about what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got done for getting us out of COVID, helping the economy, and I think that's a good contrasting message.
Our resident young person and producer behind the boards, Calvin, said Trump and Vance did an interview together on Fox, and when Trump was asked why he picked Vance, he rambled about how much J.D. likes him. And also, J.D. Vance was born James Donald Bauman. And then he changed his name, and he changed his name again, and then he did some questioning about himself, and then he turned into the person he is, with basically wearing, he's a fleece-wearing guy who has a computer brain.
And who knows where he'll be in a couple more years.
Right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Opportunist. He's just an opportunist.
He will blow with the wind, and yes, he has the firm convictions of whatever is the most bendable. Representative Mark Pocan, representing Wisconsin's 2nd District, thank you so much for carving out some time for us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it as always.
Have a great day. We are going to continue talking about the Republicans' vice presidential pick, Mr. Vance, Mr. Bauman. Take your pick. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm dancing alone? You're going to make me dance alone to this, you guys?
I feel like I should do the intro right now. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin behind the boards. And I'm telling you right now, this is the reason why you need to be on the live stream on Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever you call it, or YouTube, because you are missing, my friends, the dancing of one Jane Dancing Queen Matt Nair.
I found this before we got on the air. It's from the Marsh family. I don't know who this Marsh
is. Oh, the Marsh family. They're down the street.
They're just so sweet. They're so sweet. It's mom and dad and the 5 kids.
Salt of the earth.
So they do this ABBA parody about J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
It's almost 4 minutes long.
And I listened to it twice, folks.
Because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. So I think we should just have that in the hopper, Calvin, from now on as a quick
when we're going to talk about the Republican vice presidential candidate.
Or just if we're feeling down.
A little pick-me-up. Just a little pick-me-up. I like that idea. Like that idea.
But speaking of J.D. Vance, he's a record breaker. Did you know that, Jane?
What has he accomplished to this point in time?
Well, so as we all know, he was announced as the vice presidential pick for Donald Trump.
Yep.
People were excited for, like, I think, 10 minutes
at least,
and since then the polling, the general opinion has been bad. This article I found in Business Insider, the title is J.D. Vance breaks polling records in the worst way. They said that J.D. Vance pick makes no sense from a statistical polling perspective, which is true, because usually when you pick your vice president, there's a couple reasons why you want to do it. You want to energize it. You know, the Republicans in 2008 did that with Sarah Palin. They thought getting a woman from Alaska,
yes,
who is kind of like, she's got more energy and more life than John McCain.
Right.
That failed almost immediately. And with J.D. Vance, I think they thought, oh, we're going to get this young guy. He wrote a book. He's cool.
He's smart.
Yeah. But he doesn't bring him a state. Ohio is a red state. That doesn't get them anything.
Right.
And they're kind of finding out that there's not much behind the curtain there. He doesn't have a lot of strong convictions. He says he believes in things, but he doesn't. It's really just the fact that J.D. Vance will do whatever it takes. Because don't forget, folks, do not forget, in 2016, J.D. Vance's Twitter did not support Trump at all.
Not at all.
I mean, some incendiary things. America's Hitler comes to mind. And there's another quote from this is saying, we'd like to be the first to congratulate J.D. Vance on making history as the least popular VP pick, well, ever.
And as you said, normally after the convention and after the official announcement of who the pick is, you get a bump in the polls.
Yeah, exactly. You ride a little wave for about a week, and then it normalizes, and you're off on the campaign.
Right.
But this, I mean, you had the assassination attempt, and then the RNC, and then the J.D. Vance pick, and that should have been their news cycle for a month.
Easily.
And it went away. It went away, and I'm going to say this, I don't think it went away because President Biden got out of the race. I think it went away because people just realized J.D. Vance is nothing but an empty shirt and doesn't bring a lot of excitement and energy to the ticket. And if you just Google replacing J.D. Vance, there are people out there who have tons of ideas on what could happen. And the question I have, and we wanted to ask Jim Santel this, is can they do it legally or whatever you call it?
Because he's the official nominee.
He's the official nominee. And remember, when Biden stepped down, they lost their minds.
We're going to sue.
Yeah,
but even though the Democratic National Convention hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. Can they replace J.D. Vance on the ticket? That's the big question for me. And yeah, the scuttlebutt is that Donald Trump is very unhappy with this.
That's such a shame.
What a shame. And the problem is the rumor, and I don't like rumors, but Don Jr. picked J.D. Vance.
Well, and I found another article that it's the Broligarchs. He's calling them the Broligarchs.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Elon Musk, David Sachs, and Peter Thiel are the ones who picked J.D. Vance. He's their guy.
Well, I thought
J.D. Vance is their guy.
That's weird. I read an article about Peter Thiel getting out of democracy.
You mean out of politics?
Politics. Well, that's what the title was. Oh. He wanted to get out of democracy.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and the thing with J.D. Vance is there's all kinds of sound clips coming up just within the last couple of years of things he has said that, I don't know, may not be particularly popular. We have played this one before, but I think it's worth remembering, ladies. Calvin, let's play that clip about childless cat ladies.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
You're right. We have nothing. No, I don't care.
And also, Pete Buttigieg has two children.
He has two
children. That's a hard last name to say sometimes. And Kamala Harris has two stepchildren.
Well, and the other thing is, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're never wrong.
Well, I am. But up until this point in history, no president has ever given birth before.
No.
Is that accurate?
Correct.
All 46 that went before.
Yes.
Did not give birth.
I still heard no proof about Buchanan. But yeah, you're right. I mean,
I'm just checking.
Yep. And so far, no sitting president has ever physically birthed life.
Well, and the other thing I'd like to just throw in here quickly, because we're going to run out of time a little bit. When when Representative Pocan was here in the first segment, we mentioned Marjorie Howler Monkey Taylor Greene. Her boyfriend, of course, who works for a far right news outlet, said this once, not that long ago, quote, Liberal women tend to be some of the ugliest women I've ever seen, he said, reporting from a Trump rally. I mean, zero makeup. They take no pride in their dress, their attire, their makeup, their haircut. Half of them look like men. Hairy armpits, hairy legs. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, man. Shave them pits. I want to like you.
And he's also said, and this just surfaced, and he said this in 2021 while complaining about childless cat ladies, that parents who have children should be, so if you have five children, you should get to vote five more times for your children.
Yeah. That's
so democratic.
That's an interesting take on democracy.
Isn't it, though?
A republic in the democratic process. That's so interesting. Of course you, because which side of the aisle likes to have all the children? The right side.
That's the only side.
It's true.
It's the only side.
Calvin says Mormon takeover incoming. Okay. I think it's ridiculous. And also, you know what? Honestly, whenever I hear that, I actually think about Kamala Harris's stepchildren being like just, you know, she has no children. Yes, she does. She has two children.
Well, and they're young adults.
Yeah.
They're young adults.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk to our friend, Dr. Kristen Lierley. We'll be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Brewers in action tomorrow night. And we're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there.
If you want to catch the game, you can listen on WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Kenosha, 98.1 FM. And the game tomorrow night, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. The Marlins at the Crew, 6:35 tomorrow night. So make sure you listen and support the Crew. Very excited to have our next guest join us. And I saw this yesterday, and I wasn't even thinking about reaching out to you because you're busy. But I just wanted to share that Donald Trump was at a rally yesterday in North Carolina, and of course has completely changed his rhetoric since the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. That's not true. Of course, he hasn't changed anything. And is back to this BS, because that's what it is, about Democrats allowing women to get abortions in the 8th, 9th, and after birth. Calvin, play that clip, please.
She wants abortions in the 8th and 9th month of pregnancy. That's fine with her. Right up until birth, and even after birth, the execution of a baby. Because that's not abortion, that's the execution of a baby.
Donald Trump yesterday at a rally in North Carolina, so I texted Dr. Kristen Lierley just with an ugh, and she said, you know what? I actually have time tomorrow. So here is Dr. Kristen Lierley joining us. Thank you so very much for adjusting some things for us. Dr. Lierley, how are you doing?
I'm so good. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this, because this is one thing that gets under my skin like nothing else, because it is a frank lie. But people believe it. He says these words and people really think this is happening. So if you leave this conversation with nothing more than this today, please remember this. Democrats don't want abortion up until the time of birth and sometimes after. That is not true.
It's so insulting, Dr. Lierley, and so it's just insulting. And the idea that a woman is going to carry a child until the eighth month and get the room ready and get little clothes purchased and then come in at 8.5 months and say, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want, I'm not ready for this lifestyle choice. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't even make sense. And I think when people actually think about it, like if you can have this conversation with someone who believes this and make them think about it, they will recognize that it doesn't make sense. They're just hearing it and they're just buying it. So, I mean, let's talk about what happens when abortion happens later in pregnancy. We know most abortions occur very early in a pregnancy, but when abortion happens late in pregnancy, these are desired pregnancies. These are typically people who are at that point in their pregnancy where they can get the ultrasound right around 20 weeks. That's when we perform an ultrasound because we know we can see all of the structures and we can tell what's going on with the baby. And this is where we often find these anomalies, these problems that are inconsistent with life or that can put the mother's life in danger. And this is where we have to make really difficult, heartbreaking decisions.
Can you be more specific about some, not that you have to list all of the anomalies, but again, it's not, people aren't getting an ultrasound and saying, you know, my child's not going to be 6 feet tall. I changed my mind. That's right. But that's kind of the implication.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, it's not like that. These are babies that don't have brains. These are babies where their organs have developed outside of their bodies. Their hearts don't have four chambers. They have two. So many things can happen during fetal development that we in the general public don't know about. And often as patients, when you are faced with these really unusual, incredibly difficult diagnoses, you have hard decisions to make. And these are decisions that actually tear families apart. You know, think about it. You're a young couple, you're excited about this baby, and you're confronted with a baby that's not going to survive. And you have to make this decision about what you do next based on your beliefs, based on your support structure, based on your resources. But only you can make that decision because only you walk in your shoes and only you have a baby that is dealing with these specific concerns. And this underlines more than anything why we can't let the government make our personal healthcare decisions for us, because these decisions are tricky and nuanced and deeply personal.
I think one of the problems we face, though, doctor, and you know, I could listen to you talk about this all day long. I've learned so much about this subject matter over the past year and a half, 2 years. The problem is that if you say to someone who believes in life it begins at conception, no exceptions, and believes the rhetoric of Donald Trump saying before, during, and after, they're going to say, one, how do you know that no woman's ever done that because she just felt like it? It's like, well, I have no, like you say, it doesn't happen. I believe it doesn't happen either. But they're going to say, well, how do you know? It's like, well, of course, I don't know every person, every woman. And the other thing, too, is using the information you say of things like, you know, poorly developed organs, no brain, no possible way of having a viable life. Even when you say things like that, they say, well, you don't know. I'm like, well, I had a doctor tell me. And then they say, do you really know? That's almost to the point now where I can't have those conversations with those individuals because there's no amount of evidence, proof otherwise that I can give them that can make them even listen to me, let alone change their mind.
Well, they put the burden of proof on you to prove it. I would put it back on them to prove it. You know, like tell me about an instance where this has happened because it's not real. Yeah. So I look forward to hearing that.
I look forward to you showing your work.
Right. But there are so many people out there who are stepping up and telling these stories. And as a doctor, it makes me angry that we are forcing people like Amanda Zerkowski and my friend Anna Igler to have to stand behind a microphone and bare their souls and tell these I mean, you have no idea what these families go through. I helped a family go through something like this a decade ago, and we are still so deeply connected with each other. Anytime we see each other in the grocery store, you can just feel that energy because it is a life-determining scenario. So if you don't have personal experience here, you really don't have the ability to understand what's happening and to make that judgment. And anyone who believes that life begins at conception and that is what they are basing their decision-making on, that's great. If that is your set of beliefs, then you can make your personal decisions based on your beliefs, but you can't impose your beliefs on someone else who is actually going through this.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest, and we're talking about the former president at a rally yesterday, continuing to hammer the lie that Democrats want abortion in the 8th and 9th and after birth, which is a lie. It is not a thing. And Dr. Lierley, you pointed out some instances where, say, a child develops in the womb without the organs are outside of its body. Mm-hmm. When a couple is presented with that, they have the option to continue that pregnancy, even though the outcome is that this infant is not going to live. But that's still their choice, correct?
100%. It is so important anytime you're faced with a medical situation, whether it's related to a pregnancy or not, it is so important that you know what's happening, what all the potential options are, and what the risks and benefits are. So I have a friend who went through infertility treatment. She's an OBGYN doctor, and she ended up getting pregnant after her third cycle of IVF. They were over the moon. Mm-hmm. And her baby was diagnosed with a condition where the middle of the brain didn't develop. This baby was not going to survive. And they knew that. But she also knew that this was likely the only baby she would ever have. And they decided to carry this baby till term. And she gave birth and they brought her home. And Karina lived with them and hospice for 5 days. And she died in her mother's arms. And that was exactly what she wanted and what she needed. I'll tell you that I've taken care of other patients in very similar situations who have said, I need to not continue this pregnancy. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for me physically or emotionally. And I need to know what my options are. So everyone has to be able to make their own decision. And think about it this way. It doesn't just affect you right now. It affects you for the rest of your life. It affects your relationships. Couples break up over scenarios like this. So we have to ensure that people have the support and the information they need to be able to make these difficult decisions.
We've had a caller from Eau Claire, I want to say, who has shared the story that his wife suffered a miscarriage. A miscarriage is technically medically a spontaneous abortion. That's the technical medical term for a miscarriage is a spontaneous abortion. And this probably happened to her a decade ago. And she still struggles with that term because of all the negative connotations that abortion carries with it.
Politicians have done this to us.
Yes.
Politicians have loaded that term and made it shameful and made it difficult for us to talk about. And I know it's hard to talk about. And most of us don't want to be talking about it, but we have to talk about it because if we don't, we will lose access to fundamental health care. And I'm not just talking about abortion. We all know that contraception is on the line. 99% of us who are sexually active have used some sort of contraception in our lifetime. So this affects nearly all of us. And it affects people who are seeking infertility treatment. If you really want people to be able to build their families, you have to support IVF. And it gets ethically tricky for people who believe that life begins at conception. But you can't be an absolutist here. You truly have to think about people, what their needs are, what information is out there, how can we best provide them with healthcare and ensure that they can make their own personal medical decisions.
And that's one of the things when you bring up IVF is that if they were to outlaw IVF tomorrow, it would still be available to those who have access. Because we always hear stories about people who rail against abortion, then you find out they had an abortion or the guy made his, mistress have an abortion. Like, the hypocrisy that will just grow from it. Because if someone wants to have a baby and they have the means, they're going to find a way to do it. And so this idea that they say, like, we can't have IVF. Well, no, some will have it. We might not be able to access it, but the very rich, the very privileged, the very connected will be able to do it. And it just makes no sense to me, because that initial outcry when Alabama tried to outlaw it first, they were like, why are we doing this? And then it slowly snowballed into, oh, yes, we shouldn't do this. And then the Southern Baptist Council said, oh, we were against IVF. And now all of a sudden, it's a dirty term.
What is the status of what's going on in Alabama, Dr. Lyerly? Do you know?
Hey, so my friends who practice infertility medicine in Alabama are telling me that they have patients whose embryos are still being held hostage in Alabama because they're afraid to transport these embryos, because if there were a lab error where these embryos were to be accidentally destroyed, because they are considered people in Alabama, they could be fined. There could be, I believe it's criminal charges. So they can't get their embryos out of Alabama so they can take them to another state and start their families. And I would, to your point, Greg, I just want to point out that Ron Johnson's grandkids are IVF kids. Mike Pence's own children are IVF children. So this is available for people with privilege. It's just not available for the rest of us.
Well, Ron Johnson doesn't really want to talk about stuff like that, Dr. Lyerly. Ron Johnson has many, many, many other concerns that get him on Fox News. This just isn't one of them. Do you have time to stay for one more?
I'd love to.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. Please stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. I reached out to her last minute yesterday after Donald Trump spoke at a rally in North Carolina, continuing the massive lie that Democrats encourage abortion in the 8th, 9th, and apparently 10th month, which also isn't a thing. Neither is abortion after birth. And so I wanted to have Dr. Lyerly on to clarify some of these things. And again, Dr. Lyerly, if there is a late term abortion, it is typically because there are anomalies that are not consistent with life, right?
That's correct. Or they put the life of the mother in danger. These are very, as I said earlier, nuanced, tricky, highly individualized situations that require very personal decision making. You can't legislate this stuff.
Not at what Greg had mentioned earlier, how much he's learned in the last year and a half, 2 years that you've been on, and so have I, just to appreciate how every pregnancy is so very different. Not just woman to woman, but child to child. Your first child could be a piece of cake. Your next child could be a completely different delivery and a much different process.
Oh, the stories I could tell. I mean, just the other night at the hospital, I was taking care of a woman who was having her fourth baby, and I thought I was going to have to do a C-section for her fourth baby. Like, that should have been the easiest delivery ever. You can never predict what's going to happen, which is something I love about my job. Everybody, whether it's delivering babies or sitting in the office talking about birth control or menopause, it doesn't matter. It's so important to hear what my patients are saying so that we can not just solve that one problem, but think about it holistically. How is this affecting your whole life? How can we move forward and take that next step, recognizing that we're all changing as we age? So this, you can't isolate this abortion conversation into this very black and white place where politicians want it to be. It is part of the fabric of who we are and our healthcare.
This listener listening in Oshkosh and WISS says, Dr. Kristen's story has me bawling in the car. Tom from LA has a great question, and we're going to play this clip when now Vice President and soon to be Democratic nominee for President Kamala Harris was a member of the Senate questioning Brett Kavanaugh as he was being questioned on whether or not he should take a place on the Supreme Court. This is about reproductive justice. Calvin, let's play that clip.
Can you think of any laws that give government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm happy to answer a more specific question.
Male versus female.
There are medical procedures.
Dudes versus chicks.
That the government has the power to make a decision about a man's body?
I thought you were asking about medical procedures that are unique to men.
I'll repeat the question. Can you think of any laws that give the government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm not thinking of any right now, Senator.
Tough question, boy. Yeah. Stumble. Let me kill a little time. Yeah, there aren't any.
Do you like beer, Senator? I like beer. I love what she asked the question, and it's just, I think, it feels like a minute, but it's like 10 seconds of pure silence.
Mm-hmm.
That's because there is, men would never stand for a national anything in regards to their bodies.
No.
What if we required boys when they turn 16 to get a vasectomy? And then once they can prove their financial and emotional maturity, then they can have it reversed and therefore impregnate someone. I'm sure men all over the country would just welcome that plan.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm a man. I don't like that. You can't legislate me. That's my body, my choice. My body, my choice.
As the mom of four boys, I have to say the conversations we have about this, because my kids are all of reproductive age, so this matters to them.
Yeah.
And they have a very different take on it. You'll notice that these Gen Z folks are, they're very careful and very thoughtful in their approach to contraception, because, you know, they're directly affected by this. We talk about it in hypotheticals, like, I'm never having a baby again. I don't ever have to worry about contraception.
Right.
But it is something they think about every single day. And it's not just, which pill do I want to use? Or is there a different method? It's like, what are my periods like? And I talked with someone yesterday who 1 week out of every month, her periods are so disabling that she struggles to work.
Yep.
And she holds a job where she has to be able to focus. She is a high achieving professional. This is debilitating for her. Men don't have to deal with any of this. So we need options. We need contraception, not just to prevent unplanned pregnancies, but to treat other gynecological disorders so that we can continue to live our lives and participate in society and do all the things that we need to do. Again, this is so much more than just, are you pro-choice or pro-life? Those labels are out the window. It's anti-abortion and for people to be able to make their own personal medical decisions.
Yeah.
Those are the camps.
We don't have a lot of time left, Dr. Lyerly. I always love to play this clip when we have the opportunity, because sure, you're an OBGYN, but I don't know. What do you really know, lady? We do have Representative Joel Kitchens from Wisconsin, who knows about pregnancy. Calvin, quickly, let's play that clip.
The question is whether abortion is health care. And if you believe that a fetus is a human life, then abortion is not health care. You know, in my veterinary career, I did thousands of ultrasounds on animals.
Who?
You know, determining pregnancy and that kind of thing. So I think I know mammalian fetal development better than probably anyone here. And in my mind, there's absolutely no question that's a life. And I think the science backs me up on that.
If you knew mammals like I knew mammals, you would know.
If you knew mammals like I know mammals,
you'd know what I know better than you.
The Dr. Joel Kitchen story. If you knew mammals. Dr. Lyerly, I wanted to share with you a text from Liz at listening on WAUK in Saukville. She said, thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for your perspective, for opening my eyes. I'm 100% pro-choice now. And I think she probably thinks in the same way you're saying. It's like, free to make your own decisions. I mean, that's wonderful to hear.
Thank you, Liz. We all deserve that.
Absolutely. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, our friend, thank you so very, very much. for adjusting things so you could join us today. Really appreciate it. I hope we will talk to you again very soon.
You know I love hanging out with you guys.
Take care. News is coming up next. When we return, Kelly Nelson will be here to talk about all the things going on at the Pewaukee Public Library. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.